I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. This is Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. In 1901, Sheriff W.T. Morris of Carnes City, Texas, was investigating a horse theft and stopped by the farm of Gregorio Cortez and his brother Romaldo. Using his Anglo deputy as a makeshift Spanish interpreter, the sheriff misunderstood the words of Gregorio Cortez, and as he moved to make an arrest, a gunfight broke out. When it was over, Gregorio was left standing and on the run from the law. Pursued by the Texas Rangers for over a week, he was caught, tried, and spent nearly a decade in jail before being granted a pardon. In the meantime, his exploits were being told in song as early as 1901 in El Corrido de Gregorio Cortés.
Voy a cantarles la historia donde Gregorio Cortés el 1901 mató un sheriff de ley.
Half a century later, Cortés's story was told in a book by Américo Paredes with a pistol in his hand. In turn, that book and a chance encounter with a judge in Gonzales County became the basis for the 1982 film The Ballad of Gregorio Cortés, directed by Robert Young and starring Edward James Olmos in the title role. The film is a landmark in the history of Chicano cinema, one of the first American productions to depict someone of Latin descent as the hero, and until recently was unavailable on home video. On the occasion of a new Criterion Collection release of the movie, Texas Public Radio's Nathan Cohn spoke to Edward James Olmos by phone from Los Angeles about the film's production.
Had you read the Américo Paredes book with a pistol in his hand when Moctezuma Esparza approached you for the project, or were you familiar with it already?
No, I wasn't familiar with it prior, but got together on it and understood it a little bit when we started to do the book. But it's interesting because the book only has half of the book is on the corrido and, the song and the meanings behind the songs and why they became what they are. And then the other half dealt with the man, but only 30 pages really dealt with the man per se and not the legend. The other half, dealt with the legend, and the legend was different. The legend was more like the ballad, where he was a incredible horseman and had his guns flaring, and it was much more of a Robin Hood and kind of a swashbuckling character. And when we got into getting into the information that we got from the research that we were doing, we found it to be the man was confused and was very much a victim. He wasn't really trying to understand what was going on. That's why the scene inside the prison jail with the interpreter is a very strong scene and really puts it all into perspective.
Ask him if he's traded him a horse lately.
El sheriff quiere saber si has cambiado un caballo ahora.
No, un caballo, no.
Yeah, he says he hasn't traded a horse. I understand, no, Boone.
Tell him another fella said he did.
El sheriff dice que ya hablamos con el otro, que no hay que mentir.
Dice que vinieron por el cambio que hice con los
Lynch.
Sí.
No estamos mintiendo. No cambiamos un caballo, era una yegua, pero hace 2 días.
Yeah, because the whole thing hinges on the misunderstanding of one word here. Of a caballo.
Exactly.
Yeah, versus yegua, right? And this is just, if only we could take the time to more properly listen to one another and take time to understand one another across boundaries and languages, then events like this would be lessened, not eliminated, but lessened.
No, I totally agree.
Why did he tell the sheriff no when the sheriff asked him if he'd traded a horse?
He said no, he had not traded a caballo. He had traded a yegua, which is a mare.
I see.
In Spanish, we make a distinction between a male horse and a female horse.
So it was a matter of misunderstanding. The interpreter did not understand the word. What was that word again?
Yegua.
Yegua.
Beyond just that instance of the interpreter misinterpreting that word, that the journalist played by Bruce McGill, you find out at some point in the film, oh my goodness, he speaks fluent Spanish too.
Yes, he does.
But he really is only bothering to tell the story from one perspective, and that's the rangers and the authorities that he's riding with. That is from the white perspective. And it's only after Cortez is found guilty that he finds himself in this gathering of Mexicans who are singing a very early version of the corrido. And so this is kind of the first time that he's really kind of experiencing the story from the other side. And
how
different might have the story been, the official record, if he had really gone further as a journalist? And it brings up the importance of telling stories from many, many, many viewpoints and many cultures.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's the essence of the story. Bob encompassed and used the Rashomon technique of storytelling, where you have different points of view of the same event, and you see how subtle and how different those points of view are. And from the perspectives of getting the different points of view, you kind of get a way of triangulating the truth, of not the truth, but a more direct way of finding out what went down that day or what went down in the event that you're talking about. The movie is probably, like you said when you started this, is probably more poignant today than it was 35 years ago when we made it. And it was poignant then, but because we had never had an American hero of Latin descent on the big screen. That was the first one. There had been other stories dealing with American heroes of Latin descent, but they were never really brought forth as Latino stories, like Argo, which was a huge event and a great hero, Tony Mendez. But no one ever knew that Tony Mendez was Tony Mendez, really.
Yeah.
And they used the name, but because of the way they categorized and the way that they made the movie, Ben Affleck was playing it, and they should not have used Ben Affleck should not have played that role. That role should have been played by myself or by some other Latino that could have handled the situation as well, if not better than Ben did. And Ben won best film with that picture, and probably couldn't have got the movie made had he not played that part. That's the issue. That's the sadness of our structure, commercial structure, of economic structure of the art form. There's a reason why they don't use Latinos in leading roles. This goes back to the financial gains of what makes a picture commercial.
Well, I wanted to ask something about the rollout of the film, because I saw the interview on the Criterion Blu-ray where you're talking about screenings held in L.A. and San Francisco and El Paso. And I also read that this film was screened in San Antonio here before it premiered on PBS. Was that the case?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. We presented it, and we had a very, very knee-jerk reaction from Dr. Américo Paredes. He did not like the movie. Yeah, he found it to be... He worked his... on the understanding of the myth rather than the man himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, he only put in 30 pages of the entire book, really dealt with the man himself, not the mythical character that had arisen from the annals of the corridos and the way that the border stories went on. I mean, he did everything that they said he did. He was a great horseman. And he did write in Circles of Eight, and he did incredible things, one man. But he didn't do it as a swashbuckling, you know, Errol Flynn type of character. I saw one photograph that gave it away. I remember getting a copy of this photograph of him sitting on a chair with, I think there's two guys sitting on each side of him, and then around the back and around the sides to these five people who are sitting in chairs are Texas Rangers with their guns. And it's like, you know, you take a picture when you shoot an elephant or you shoot a big rhinoceros. Yeah, you got that you stand right next to the kill and you stand there with your gun and your smiling face and the body's just sitting there. In this case, it was Cortez just sitting in the chair after he was caught. They took a picture. He was so humble. The photograph exposes the behavior of a man. You see it, the confusion. You could see that he had no sense of understanding at all. And more than that, you saw delicateness to him. That was just amazing how his hands were placed on his legs, how his body was, and how the people around him were. And it's a very revealing picture. And from that picture, we created what we consider to be a pretty factual understanding of what he was like.
I was going to say, and you bring that delicateness to the screen by the so well, too, because there's that one scene where you're calming the horse, basically,
yeah,
by the stream. And that, I was really, really moved by that moment.
I couldn't agree with you more. We only did one take. All those things were just one take. I mean, we didn't have a large budget, but we really did go after the documentation of it. So that it was, you know, not like we did it over and over and over again, like most films are made. Me riding on the horse, that was all one take. I mean, whatever you saw me riding, I was riding. It wasn't like we did, okay, let's do that again, please.
Yeah.
You know, you just couldn't do it. Those shots were just one shot. You either get it or you don't. When we're riding underneath the train and the train's going over the bridge and we're riding underneath it and the cameras are rolling from on top. We didn't. We just did it once. Me riding up through the canyon, and when I go into the canyon and I go straight into the camera, yeah, and my horse goes up and I'm stuck inside the canyon when I get there, that was just the cinematographer standing there at the bottom waiting for me to get there. Wow. You can see the shot. And Ray Villalobos did a brilliant job. Not a good job, brilliant. Was quite a magnificent piece of work on his part.
That's actor Edward James Olmos talking with Texas Public Radio's Nathan Cohn. Olmos has been talking about his role as a producer and star of the film The Ballad of Gregorio Cortez. Coming up, The Ballad of Gregorio Cortez is still considered to be one of the most authentic Westerns ever made.
There's not even a question. No John Ford movies, no, you know, Houston movies, no spaghetti Westerns, nothing gets close to The Ballad as far as authenticity.
Nathan Cohn's conversation with Edward James Olmos continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The 1982 film The Ballad of Gregorio Cortez was shot on location in New Mexico and Gonzales, Texas, where the actual trial of South Texas folk hero Gregorio Cortez took place.
¡Que viva Gregorio!
¡Que viva! ¡Que viva!
Señores, señoras, muchísimas gracias por haber venido esta noche. Amigos, si Gregorio Cortés es culpable, que lo castiguen. Pero si no es, hágase la justicia. La justicia, desgraciadamente, cuesta dinero. Así es que, por favor, abran su corazón y hagan su contribución. Por favor, señores.
Edward James Olmos tells Texas Public Radio's Nathan Cohn what happened when the director, Robert Young, pitched Judge E.W. Pattison the idea of shooting the film in the Gonzales courthouse.
When we walked in, Bob was talking to the district court judge who was in charge of the courtroom and the courthouse. We're talking to him, and Bob was trying to explain to him a little bit about this movie that we needed to shoot, and we wanted to use his courtroom. And the judge was kept on asking Bob, what's the character's name? What's the story? And Bob didn't want to say it because it kind of like would diminish it, because he knew that Bob knew that this man wouldn't know who they were talking about, because, you know, I mean, first of all, he's Caucasian. Second of all, you know, this 80 years plus years ago, he said, well, this is a story that happened here about a cowboy who lived here, and the judge would go, well, what's his name? And Bob would go, well, he's a really well-respected hero amongst the Latino community, and try to build up the story. And he said, well, what's his name? And finally Bob said, well, his name is Gregorio Cortez, but he's a really incredible, incredible human being who... And then the judge says, oh, gosh, sit down. I've been waiting for you guys for over 35 years. And Bob looks at him, and I looked at Bob, and I didn't understand the statement, because the guy's saying, yeah, sit down, please, sit down, sit down. And he plays the real judge.
Yeah, that's the dude.
In the movie, that's him. That's the guy. That was the only thing he said. I got this right here. This is for you. And what I want you to do is I just want to play the judge, because it's a very important part of the history of this country. And he explained. He said, this is the first time they had ever used an interpreter in the history of the country.
Now, would you ask him to tell me in detail about what happened the day Sheriff Morris visited him at his home?
Quiero saber detalladamente lo que sucedió el día que llegó el sheriff Morris a su casa.
Acabábamos de regresar de trabajar dos semanas.
They had just returned from working 2 weeks.
Me estaba rasurando mi esposa.
Come on, man. How many immigrants have been put in front of the courthouse and courts across the country and never had an interpreter? I mean, I couldn't even imagine. It was 1901. It was not 1891. You know, it was not 1850. It was 20th century. And the usage of the telephone, you know, how they used the railroad to try to get them. He sat us down, and he opened file cabinets that were filled with all the documentation of everything that happened at the trial. And all the press that came out across the United States of America, he had acquired it. And it was all there. And Bob just like looked at it and said, wow. And then he started to read. Bob started to read. And then he walked into a hotel room, sat down, and rewrote the entire script from page one. I took care of writing all of the Cortez part of it. He took care of writing all about the storytelling part of it, how the story would be told. And it was amazing. Him and I just like went nuts. That's why it has such a huge feeling of a documentary. Well, the United States Historical Society proclaimed it to be the most authentic Western ever made in the history of film, ever.
Yeah.
To this day, there's not even a question. No John Ford movies, no, you know, Houston movies, no spaghetti westerns. Nothing gets close to the belly as far as authenticity.
Well, you're dealing with history. You've gone straight to the source. You've got the documents. Mm-hmm. You're shooting, you know, on location. You're using available resources. I mean, everything from the production of it to the writing is got the authenticity behind it. And, you know, there's and then of course you're telling the story in such a way that the audience, you know, is able to interpret everything for themselves, and it stands on its own, you know.
I agree. I mean, I'm so proud of it. And I told Bob, I said, Bob, the people will never know. It's going to take 100 years for them to find this movie. But when they find it, it's going to be literally the most revealing, dramatic piece of work done. I mean, 100 years from today, I'm telling you, they'll be reading your work, and people will get turned on to it, and bingo, people are going to go, wow, man.
Well, Mr. Olmos, you've been very generous with your time this morning. I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for your interest.
That's Edward James Olmos speaking with Texas Public Radio's Nathan Cohn from his home in California about The Ballad of Gregorio Cortez, the 1982 landmark film that kickstarted the Chicano independent film movement in the 1980s. It's new on Blu-ray from the Criterion Collection. More of Nathan's interview with the actor is online at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Norma Martinez produced the broadcast. Our executive producers are Steve Short and Fernando Ortiz. Our digital editor is Vince Kong. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.